afterwards. I went from, I think, was it 3 applications to about 51 per week. Now it's kind of leveled out, but it's still like very, very steadily increasing, twice as high as it was before. So yeah, obviously the Brexit is a concern to British entrepreneurs, and that's generating a lot of media coverage. And it's a lot of entrepreneurs have discovered e-residency because they're concerned about the impact on their business. One thing I'd point out actually is that we really believe that the benefits of e-residency are bigger than Brexit. And by speaking to e-residents, British e-residents, they're not using e-residency just because they want privileged access to the single market. I think in some cases they I know some people who have clients across Europe, and especially if like you're an online consultant and you have clients across Europe, then e-residency, signing up to e-residency now is a great solution to just maintain those relationships, maintain an EU remaining business. For most people, though, they discover e-residency, then they realize that actually there's a lot more benefits to it, that it makes it easier to do a business online globally. So, yeah, a lot of interest is being generated by Brexit, but, you know, the program keeps growing regardless, including both inside and outside the EU, as well as the UK, whatever category you want to put them in. Oleg. We've got a question for you. So let's see, from Mark. I want to ask Oleg a question. We have a SaaS platform where you can manage your documents with our e-signature. We want to use e-signature by using Estonia timestamp on our platform with e-residency card or personal certificate token.
Okay. Sure. without seeing any further details, I don't think there's a technical challenge of any sort to be able to do this. There's an API available for the card login, so you could do that. This is the way you can authenticate the user. And there's actually software packages for signing documents that are available. If you go to id.ee, you will be able to download the apps for your platform to be able to sign documents. So yeah, definitely, these integrations are possible. I think, you know, if you need any further technical details, you can reach us over email, and we'll provide them.
Yeah, we're always happy to support e-resident companies. You know, we always want to hear about what you're doing with your companies and when you're launching and how we can help promote you and work with you. So please do keep us updated and contact us. I guess, Oleg, in general, kind of, you're seeing a lot more blockchain companies coming.
Sure. I mean, this is a hot topic right now, so there's lots of interest there. That's not the only types of companies we're seeing being established, but yes, there's a fair bit of that too. But lots of software companies of different kinds. My background is software, so you know, I'm able to help those that need some specific answers on, you know, software, or but not only that, business in general as well.
I saw a question coming on what are the main benefits for EU citizens, and this is really interesting because I mentioned earlier that like when e-residency was first established, people didn't really know who was going to benefit the most from it, and some of the assumptions was that e-residency was going to help people outside the EU gain access to the EU market. Actually, you know, a lot of growth has come from, I think probably most e-residents are from inside the European Union. And the main benefit is, well, it's easier to run your business entirely online. You can use business services here at much lower cost. And I'll give an example, actually. I was speaking to an e-resident from Belgium. And in Belgium, if you want to start your company, you have to pay €16,500 in share capital. You also need to have, then you pay another couple of thousand euros to incorporate your company. You also need to have an office, like you need to have office space. So even if you're a digital nomad and you would prefer working while traveling, or maybe you just prefer working from home or working from a local cafe, the regulation in Belgium is that you need to show the office space that your company has. So I guess in Estonia, we kind of we make it as easy as possible to run a company. And we also really want to welcome digital nomads and understand their lifestyle and how we can accommodate them. We really believe that Estonia can be the best country to accommodate digital nomads. So we don't have those difficult regulations. We have a low cost of business services, and you can do everything entirely online with minimal hassle. So a lot of people across the EU sign up to e-residency, that they can run their company through Estonia a lot easier, but they still have the same benefits of, you know, this person still runs their company in Belgium like any other Belgian entrepreneur does, just with a lot less hassle. Can I still use my UK or non-EU bank account with my company sole trading activity in Estonia? So I guess when it comes to business banking, you know, there's nothing that we would do to stop you from using a business bank in another country. But from the bank's perspective, they're very unlikely to open a business bank account for a company registered in another country, which is why, and actually, you know, it's an interesting question because I have personal experience of running a company in the UK and Estonia at the same time. And, you know, it was one brand, but with two different legal entities, one in Estonia, one in the UK, then two different accounts in Estonia and the UK. So you can do that. It's going to be very difficult to try and attach a business bank account based in the UK to an Estonian company. But also the question is whether you really want to, because what I found is that it was easier to run my Estonian company. So over time, I shut down my UK company, just focused on the Estonian company. And now I work here and I'm telling everyone to do that. But yeah, so when it comes to banking issues, it's the decision of the banks, and banks are private companies that are going to naturally be cautious about the idea of opening for people in other countries, which is why we think Holvi is a fantastic solution. There's a lot of questions coming in about, can I register as a sole trader? I'm going to get advice from Atat here, but I very rarely come across e-residents that want to be sole traders because a limited company is very easy, but maybe you can put this in.
Yes, technically you can, but our program, we do not tell you, but advise you to go for OE, because as a sole proprietor, you will be liable with everything with your own money. As an OE, your company will be liable. So we do recommend going from OU, but if you want to be a sole proprietor, you can. You can also turn to a service provider. They will guide you through the process. And if you want to look what is the difference between the different business forms, you can also find information on ast.de state portal. It has the whole description, what is their differences.
Just maybe I'll add to that, that it's, you know, being a sole proprietor exposes you to basically increased risk. So your activity, you'll be personally liable for things like, you know, copyright violations, intended or unintended, things like insurance, for example, and other decisions that you probably, you know, everything that you do. So for example, if you take a credit and then you default on it, and you're personally liable for that. You know, corporations were created for this particular purpose. So it's definitely in your interest to be a limited liability company, because then, you know, the officers and the directors of the company are protected with various things related to the corporate law.
Yeah, and I would add one more thing, that we at the moment open all the accounts only for OU, so limited companies. This might change in the future, but at the moment that makes most sense for us as well.
I see a question from, let's see, Nicholas, about how many people do you need to open a company, and just one. So actually the program is very popular with digital nomads, solo entrepreneurs, freelancers, contractors. So yeah. One person, and you don't, I mentioned earlier, you don't need a local director. A lot of countries do require that. Estonia doesn't. So one person, one digital nomad can register a company in Estonia. But you're also welcome to start a company with multiple co-founders. Amit has asked how long the card lasts. They read that it lasts 3 years. So, yeah, and the program's been going for about 2.5 years. So you're right that it was or it is currently 3 years. So the first cards are going to expire soon. But actually, we're planning to extend the cards for longer than that. And that includes cards that have already been issued. So even if the date on them, if you've already got a card and it's got a date on them, that doesn't matter because it's a digital ID and we should be able to extend the cards. So we're going to, you're right, that's one thing that we need to communicate and update people on, but it's something we're working on at the moment. And I'm not sure if there's anything you want to add.
Actually, I do want to add something. So the certificates of the card are only valid for 3 years. As Adam said, we are working on it. If you have been an EU resident for a while and you are concerned, so the process of renewing it is the same as applying for a new one. If you already have an EU residency Digi ID, apply for a new one like a month or 2 months before it expires. You don't have to worry that you won't be able to access these services afterwards. Some of you have had questions that if you have an EU residency Digi ID and you switch to a new one, what happens to your company? Don't worry, the information that is really important is your Estonian personal ID code, and this will remain the same, well, basically till you die. The ID code is most important. The other information on the digital ID, it can change with the new IDs, but your identity, your online identity will remain as it is.
Oleg, one for you, actually. Interesting question from Khalid, asking about access to finance and can companies, e-residency companies, be listed on stock exchanges?
Well, sure. You know, if you're planning on listing a company on a stock exchange, you go through the IPO process. So the company that you're starting as a new resident is actually no different from a resident starting a company. It's the same thing. So yes, if this is the path that you choose, you can do it.
And Thunderbeam, do many e-resident companies use them at the moment?
I don't have statistics on the number of e-residents who are using Thunderbeam, but yes, this is another company in Estonia that provides access to alternative funding, so crowdfunding and other things. You can use Thunderbeam as a method to raise funds for your company if you establish a resident company.
Thanks, Alec. And Andre asks about what are the monthly costs to maintain e-residency, a company for freelancer, a small agency. I'm guessing we at least need the virtual address and the accounting. Yeah, you're right. So the only thing you legally require is an address in Estonia. But most e-residents want to get business services, especially accounting, to go along with that. The feedback I get from e-residents is that they tend to spend about 60 to 100 euros per month on all the services that they need to run their business. So we think that is globally very competitive. I'm not sure
if e-residents... in some... if you only rent the virtual office, I think it's about 20 euros a month, and the rest of it you can really do yourself through the portal. If you have friends or somebody who can, give you the address here, then it's free. You don't have to pay anything. There are a variety of packages that the service providers offer, and, they range depending on the business needs. So there are plans that include several things, or you can go, paper use. So that varies. I've heard things. So one of the service providers, one office, I think they charge $50 an hour for most of the things, or 50 euro an hour for most of the services they provide. So that's legal advice, accounting, other things. But another service provider, Leapin, they have some packages where you can subscribe for a set fee and you'll get a number of hours dedicated to you and a number of services that you get for that fee, which is roughly 100 or something.
So if you go to our website, then we put a list of business service providers on there, which are all recommended by other e-residents. So you're welcome to look through them. And obviously, these are all private companies, so they'll all have different quotes and different services. But yeah, you're welcome to take a look at their different options available. Haria asks, what is the primary target of the e-residency program, and how would you expect that to evolve in future? Digital nomads freelancers have different needs than a startup aiming to develop a global business. Yeah, that's really interesting. And so I didn't know too much about digital nomads until I kind of accidentally stumbled into this world. But location-independent entrepreneurs are, the main reason why people sign up for e-residency is to run a location-independent business. And so that's what we've really focused on supporting. And, we believe, legal entity established through e-residency is one of the simplest ways to run a business, no matter who you are. And so lots of different types of people are interested in the program, but it just so happens that it's the digital nomad community that have really got excited about this. So there's no reason from our perspective why we would stop others from starting businesses as well and supporting them. But yeah, we do want to be the country that understands digital nomads.
Yeah, and maybe a little bit to add to that. Look, business is business. It could be a business of one person, or it could be a company of many people and so on. I think the digital nomads, this particular trend is growing. And I think, it's my personal belief that the nature of work will change and, we'll have most of the people in the future, be the digital nomads or the one-person companies. So the framework for that will need to evolve. And we're really fortunate to be on the very cutting edge of it, evolving these frameworks. So digital nomads is definitely the area that we're focusing on. There are a number of different particular verticals that we're looking at. So, digital nomads is one of the biggest one, I would say, just because of the potential of the growth of the area.
One person's asked how they can get more information afterwards, how to speak to someone afterwards.
Hey, if you have any more questions, please write to our support. You go to our website, scroll down, you can find the email address. We'll do our best to reply to you as soon as we can. So any questions you have, if you can't find the info, just contact us.
Perfect. And I think that's probably a good question to end our webinar on. So I'm sorry if we couldn't answer your question. I think we'd love to do more of these and answer as many questions as possible. Please do visit our website. As I mentioned, send us any more questions you've got. In the meantime, there's a few things that we're going to think about from this about how we can get more information out to you all. Thank you so much for attending the webinar. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye. Thank you.
Sjælens tunge ensomhed er brudt. That's good. Yeah, we're coming.
Thank you. træet her, et gulligt skær af sol, som sænker sig. Som jeg